this is an operation that behind it is just tremendous. In other words, the amount of energy and materiel expended in this program that we're looking at is just phenomenal. This is a very serious business. This is not just a lark of some sort, you know, grabbing a few people and all that. What we're looking at here is a very, very serious business. And these beings are intent on carrying out their program, and we are we're the I don't know if you can use the word victims of it, but we certainly are the target of it.
Is this being done with the knowledge and support of Earth governments?
No. They don't care about this subject. They don't know about this subject. They don't do anything about this subject. I wish it was. I wish that there were people in the government, whether they were surreptitious or in a shadow government or in this government, or I don't care what kind of government they're involved with, but I wish that there were people who were paying attention to this, who were dealing with this, but we have no evidence whatsoever that any abductees have ever been debriefed by military people. The military, incidentally, is not abducting people either, and that's the sort of the popular culture of the subject, just the soft underbelly
right.
of popular culture. It does not show up in our evidence whatsoever. It's unfortunate. The government did pay attention to the subject back in the 50s and the 60s, but it really hasn't for a very, very long time now, and it never paid any attention to the abduction phenomenon. And I think that the government gets its cues primarily from the scientific community. I know I've repeated this before, so I'm sorry for people who have to listen to this all over again. But the scientific community has been steadfastly, not just resistant, but hostile to the subject. And yes, we've chipped off a few scientists here and there out of the thousands and thousands in the United States. But a few here and there doesn't mean anything. Most scientists, when you say you're a UFO researcher or an abduction researcher, look at you and think only one thing, nutcase. And that's the first thing that pops into their minds every time. Believe me, I've been an academic all my life as well, and I know how they think. And there's just been no movement. You know, one of the great things, so to speak, that the UFO research community wanted to accomplish for years and years was to convince the scientific community of the legitimacy of the subject. That has been the greatest failure of the UFO research community.
That's true.
It was never able to do that, never. And they're the ones who tell the government basically what to do in matters of science.
Well, you have a PhD in history. You're at a major university. Has this subject matter affected your professional life?
Well, let's put it this way. Yes.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
I do things that cause exquisite embarrassment to the university by studying this and being in the media and that sort of stuff. And as a result, there has been a price to pay, and it's a price that I have willingly paid because I think that the subject is important enough to overcome that. But it's been a fairly, even though I've been at Temple now since 1975, since I got into the abduction phenomenon, it's been a fairly rocky road, I must say.
What race is doing this, David? Are they just the Greys? Are they a combination of extraterrestrials?
Yes and no. When people describe what they look like, and now you have to remember that when they confabulate, especially in the first couple of hypnosis sessions, or when they remember what they look like consciously, they're all over the place. The number one problem of confabulation is identification of or description of aliens. That's number one. So you got to be very, very careful when people say what they look like. And every time they say something that doesn't seem, you know, quite right, you just have to say maybe yes, maybe no. So when everything is controlled for, basically you're dealing with gray aliens, small and tall. You're dealing with insect-like ones, reptilian-like ones, and human-like ones who are adult hybrids. The problem, the situation is such that they are all working together. They're all working for the same goal. They're seen on board the same objects. They do all the same procedures. therefore, they all come from the same one place, wherever that is, and they are all working in concert. We do not see other races doing abductions in much the same way for other purposes. That has not been a part of this phenomenon, as far as I can tell.
In your opinion, David, and this may be all guess, where do you think these extraterrestrials reside?
Well, first of all, George, everything is a guess. And even though I'm talking with emphasis here and I seem to know what I'm talking about, you gotta remember that I'm just guessing like everybody else. But in terms of where they reside, you know, I like this question because the answer is revealing. The answer is we do not know where they reside. And if this were a psychological phenomenon, the very first thing that we would have learned is where they reside, where they come from. Because when you take a look at science fiction or bogus contact stories of the 1950s and all the rest of that, the very first thing the aliens say is, "My name is Thor, I come from the planet Vortech, and I come in peace." You know, you get motivation, where they're from, what their name is, all that. That is not true of the abduction phenomenon, and we do not know where these beings are from.